Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey, welcome in everybody to a special edition of Future Brew. We're posting it a little later than usual, but that is because we are going to recap the early signing period for the 2020 class on this edition of Future Brew. So buckle in. We've got a lot to talk about, not only for this, but we will talk about the future for the traditional February signing period as well. My name is Vaughn Lozon. Joining me today, as always, John Simmons has recovered from the tickle in his throat that was giving him some issues in the last edition of Future Brew. John, you are feeling better. You sound great. How are you doing today, my friend?
I'm doing well. It was an exciting day, more exciting than most signing days under Harbaugh. So lots of stuff to keep up with.
Tons of stuff to keep up with. And in the midst of me starting a brand new job this week, full-time job, along with this, it was a little bit difficult for me personally to keep up with all of this stuff. But I am very thankful and grateful that John and the rest of the team at Mason Brew held down the fort as all of this madness got underway. Pretty early in the morning, got it kicked off around 7:15. The first early signed player was Alessandro Lorenzetti, the three-star offensive lineman, and it just kept going from there. Marlon Klein got his in. CJ Stokes got his in, and so on and so forth. All the big names as well. What I want to really focus on now, I suppose, to begin our podcast, all the kind of stuff that really made today special. And obviously we knew that, guys like Colston Loveland, for example, guys like Zeke Berry, Mason Graham, like they were going to sign. There was never any doubt that those guys were going to sign their letter of intent when they came in on the Michigan football Twitter page. It was like, okay, good. It's finally official. That is, set in stone. No problems. It was a very expected occurrence. So let's talk about some of the things that happened today that it still may have been expected, but these kids weren't necessarily committed until today. So let's start off, John, talking about Amorian Walker, because we've talked about him quite a bit over the last few months on Future Brew and on Mason Brew. NFL.com. He was a three-star wide receiver committed to Notre Dame and ended up signing with the Wolverines today. He's from the state of Louisiana. Like I said, he was committed to Notre Dame, had been since March. So he had been committed for a really, really long time now. Obviously was very open with all of the other schools that he was communicating with and visiting. He took a late visit to Mississippi State as well. Also visited Alabama. So even though he was committed, and I am doing air quotes right now, he wasn't really truly committed to Notre Dame. So he ended up flipping, signing with Michigan. And let's just throw Darius Clemens into the mix as well, since that is the same position, John. I'm really excited about this one, man. And I think you probably all know, if you're familiar with this program, and John, I'm sure you remember me hyping up Darius Clemens over the summer as well. Mm-hmm. Man, do I love this kid. 6'3", 205 pounds. Somehow is not a top 100 player still, which months ago I was clamoring for him to go up in the rankings. Even though he's still a four-star, he's still a highly ranked kid, I think he should be higher than where he's at right now. But you just cannot teach that size, and you cannot teach the speed of that 40 time that he has. I want to say it was like 4.37 is what he was clocked at last year. So again, you can't teach that. And that is something that is, it was really needed in this class for Michigan before today, because they only had one wide receiver committed. And that was Tyler Morris at 6 foot. So to add the size and the speed to that wide receiver room, at the very last moment, John, I think Michigan absolutely hit a grand slam with both these guys, being able to get them both on board, both signed, both sealed, and both delivered. This was just an absolutely monster way to finish the wide receiver recruiting for this class.
Yeah, I think they really flipped what was a weakness into a strength there. They only had one guy committed before. But now they have three guys that they really think highly of. They've been after Walker for months and months. It was a really strange thing where everyone kind of thought or knew he was going to flip, but he just stayed committed the whole time and then waited until the very last day to finally do it. So that was great. You know, he has positional versatility too. He could play as defensive back, but I'm sure we'll talk about that too. But Michigan's defensive back class is pretty loaded. So I think he's definitely needed over there at the wide receiver room more. And then, yeah, Clemens is just an absolute stud. Ran a 4.37 time 40 that's verified at 6.3 is just crazy combination that you don't see often. You know, just picture Roman Wilson running, but, you know, like 5 inches taller. And that's what you have with Clemens. So I think that's a really good sign. And I don't think Michigan gets Clemens or a lot of these guys on signing day without the last 2 weeks of the football season they had. So it just kind of shows you how much things can change with a really good season.
Winning cures everything. And yeah, today really proved that, because I think you're right. I think if Michigan didn't finish the season the way that they did, with beating Ohio State, winning a Big Ten championship, getting to the college football playoff, you probably don't see Darius Clemens flip to Michigan. And who knows if Amorian Walker ends up flipping to Michigan. He could have stuck with Notre Dame and or ended up going somewhere else. Like, he was entertaining Alabama for a while. He visited Mississippi State. I want to say he made another visit as well. He was kind of just all over the place. So perhaps he doesn't end up committing to Michigan if Michigan doesn't end up doing all of those things that they did at the end of the year. So you're right. I think it was absolutely huge. And this is kind of a reason why winning winning cures all. I mean, you see it. I mean, this is the proof here. This is what Michigan fans have been waiting for so long. So let's move on, because I think another instance where winning the Big Ten helped Michigan is with Keon Sabb, the four-star safety who played his high school ball down at IMG Academy in Florida. This was a very interesting recruitment as well. Michigan had been recruiting him for so long at this point. It goes back to probably the winter of last year when they got their new defensive coaches in. And they had got him highly interested in Michigan. He ended up committing to Clemson. And obviously Clemson had their positional coaches assistant coaches, I should say, exit that program. And Brent Venables, now being the head coach of Oklahoma, ended up helping Michigan in this one. That is for mostly when it comes to winning and everything like that helps. This one, I really think it was kind of locked in when Brent Venables ended up leaving for Oklahoma. But another really good prospect. I really liked him. He was a 5-star at one point, is now a 4-star prospect on the 24/7 Sports composite. Is still really, really good. Top 100 guy. He's listed at 6'2", 200 pounds. So he's going to fit in really nicely with what they already had with Zeke Berry and all the other defensive backs that they have in this class. It's just an insane class with the corners and safeties as opposed to what they had last year. But again, John, I mean, you can't go wrong getting a top 100 guy to end up committing and signing to you on the first day of the early signing period. I really like Sam, and I think he brings a versatile skill set to Ann Arbor. What say you, my friend?
Yeah, definitely. Michigan's been recruiting him for so long. I kind of think of him as like two different prospects. You know, there's the old image of him I had when he was playing back in New Jersey and was the 5-star. And, you know, I thought Michigan's connections with the state, you know, with the coaches there were going to help him get him. And, but then, you know, he committed to Clemson. Michigan got basically a whole new staff, and then it turned into he went to IMG, and it was just, you know, Michigan's performance on the field and Brent Venables leaving is what caused him to go there. So he's just been through it all here with Michigan, and I think, you know, it was a really good job by the staff to go through that transition and still maintain the level of contact they needed. I think they've been lurking for a while. They're always in the back of his mind. You know, when before he committed in like June, he took a pretty surprising midweek official to Ann Arbor that no one was really expecting. So I think he was always really high on Michigan. But I think it just, you know, the end of the season and the kind of disarray at Clemson really pushed it towards Michigan's edge.
Yeah, agreed. I'm with you because they have been recruiting him for a really, really long time. And when it comes to recruits like that, where you recruit them for a while and then they end up committing somewhere else, and then, you know, this kind of instance happens where he decommits and ends up at Michigan, you're right. It kind of does seem like two recruitments all in one, and kind of seemed that way with Darius Clemens for me as well, because he kind of just disappeared for so long and then ended up making his way to Ann Arbor. Very similar to Keon Sab in that area. But I just want to talk about the defensive backs in this class real quick, John, because it is incredible what they were able to do here. Obviously, they got Will Johnson to sign his letter of intent. And then joining him at safety, like I mentioned, Zeke Berry. But then you got Damani Dent as well, who was a potential flip candidate. He was also considering at the end of the day Miami, and then also Florida. So to be able to keep him in the class was very essential to what they want to do in the near future with their secondary. So obviously Keon Sab joining all of those guys. And then also Miles Pollard, who is, in my opinion, one of the more underrated players in this class. So really, compared to what they did last year at defensive back, it's just a night and day difference, obviously, with the way that Rod Moore played as a true freshman. Very nice and probably has a very bright future on this team. And then obviously you also had Jane McBurrows, who played in a couple games here and there, didn't really flash, but probably will play more next season as well. But I kind of anticipate a few of these guys getting in their true freshman season. Will Johnson, obviously, I think he'll have a spot somewhere. But you would imagine maybe a Zeke Berry, maybe a Keon Sab, maybe even a Miles Pollard. I mean, some of these guys have that potential to play their true freshman season. These guys are just clearly, in my opinion, at least, it's the best positional unit that they have in this class. I don't think that's too much of a hot take, but you can give your opinion if you differ from mine, John. But I'm really impressed by this class with corners and safeties.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. And Michigan really needed this class after only taking McBurrows and Rod Moore last year, like you talked about. I think Moore has already proven to be a hit, but you know, you just need the numbers in the room. And shout out to Ron Bellamy for coming in and just kind of killing it in the cycle this year. You look at the primary recruiters for these defensive backs, and you know, Sab, Berry, Cody Jones, Amoran Walker, who's a wide receiver, but Louisiana connection, Damani Dent, he's, you know, the primary recruiter for all of them. And then the secondary recruiter for Will Johnson and Miles Pollard and a few more. So, you know, he really had a hand on both sides of the ball, getting in these studs to kind of restock the safety room, especially. And I think they're going to be loaded back there for next several years now.
Another place where they'll also be stocked and loaded for the foreseeable future is the quarterback position. And Michigan, maybe to the surprise of some people, ended up flipping a quarterback from Virginia Tech early signing period here. I certainly wasn't expecting them to end up flipping him, but then the buzz kind of came Wednesday night that it could end up happening, and that is from three-star quarterback Alex Orji, who Jim Harbaugh recently on, I guess this was on the podcast with John Jansen that they do on mgoblue.com. Harbaugh had said that he is like Herschel Walker playing quarterback. So if that's the case, then you've got yourself the number one prospect of all time if that ends up coming to fruition. But so he ended up flipping from Virginia Tech today, and he is pretty talented, pretty versatile at the quarterback position. He plays in Texas. He had completed 127 passes for 2,056 yards, 28 touchdowns, also ran for 23 touchdowns, 1,187 yards rushing. So at 6'2", 226, he, again, is like a versatile quarterback. If it doesn't work out at QB, though, it could end up working out on the defensive side of the ball, like what they did with Michael Barrett. When he was in high school, he played all over the place, mainly quarterback, and ended up converting him to the linebacker position, which in your evaluation here, John, in your story that you wrote about him on MaizeandBrew.com, you kind of said the same thing, that he linebacker would be the most realistic spot for him if he ends up flipping over to a different position. And you say that he has the size for that, and his older brothers played linebacker and safety at Vanderbilt, so that definitely helps having that connection as well. So what do you like about him and the quarterback position in general, with him and Jaden Denegal also signing his letter of intent to Michigan today?
Yeah, I think when you see Michigan trying to take a second quarterback, they wanted to you know, kind of switch up the skill set and get a guy who's more of a dual threat type player. And Orji is definitely that. He had over 1,000 yards rushing. And he also could switch to a different position if it doesn't work out. You know, you see a dual threat quarterback and think, you know, oh, if he doesn't play quarterback, it'll probably be a running back or wide receiver or something. But no, there's some analysts that think he would be a four-star linebacker as well. So I haven't seen any tape on how he plays on defense, but his offensive film's pretty good. I was watching it to see how he runs, you know, how quick he is, but it was like 4 minutes of deep touchdown passes before we even got to like the first run minus like a slow motion hurdle at the goal line. So I do think he likes to focus on his passing. And I think he has probably a higher ceiling than even Jaden Dennegal in the class. So it'll be interesting one to see how it plays out, sandwiched between hopefully 2 5 stars if Michigan lands Dante Moore in the 23 class. So there's a lot of battle that's going to have to play out here and probably some attrition. So, but no one expected Cade McNamara to be the starter either when he was signed. So you never know.
You truly do never know when it comes to this stuff. Yeah, there obviously there's going to be attrition in today's day and age with the transfer portal. That's inevitable. I agree, though. I think that he does bring a certain skill set that Jaden Dennegal doesn't. Dennegal's at 6'4", 215. Orji at 6'2", 226. So clearly a height and weight differential there. Jaden Dennegal being more of a pure pocket passer. He can obviously be mobile when he has to be, but that's not his best skill set. Kind of like what Cade McNamara brings to the table. He can be mobile, but that's definitely not one of his stronger assets in the passing game at the quarterback position. So it's going to be really interesting to see how it all plays out. I kind of like them continuing to recruit him and end up taking a second quarterback. It really shows that they're committed to that, kind of getting both of those kinds of players in the program. And obviously, like I just mentioned with the transfer portal, it's better to have more guys than not, because, you know, if right now, for example, if McNamara goes down, obviously a McCarthy, but you don't really have a whole lot behind him. So depth is key at the quarterback position. That is for sure. Let's move on to the defensive line, because it was quite the interesting day for Michigan at the defensive line position as well. It all started pretty early in the morning, around 9 o'clock or so, when 3-star defensive lineman Ethan Burke, who was committed to Michigan, ended up flipping over to Texas, a program that offered him, I want to say it was the day before the early signing period started. So with him being a kid from Texas, and I want to say he was specifically from Austin. I don't have it pulled up in front of me right here, but it's kind of hard to deny your hometown program when they offer you last second. You know, you get the chance to stay at home, play for a big time program like Texas in the Big 12, and then maybe you move over to the SEC by the time that that happens. So that would be an interesting thing for him as well. So honestly, I can't blame him for wanting to flip over to Texas just because of that. It's still a good football program, even though they've been a little down in the dumps the last few seasons. Being a kid from Austin, you probably rooted for Texas growing up. You just flip it over to the other side. If it was a kid from the Metro Detroit area and was offered by Michigan last second, and he was committed to another big time program, he ended up flipping to Michigan, you would probably be excited about it. In this instance, you're probably not excited about it, because he did have potential. He was, at 6'7", 225. So he certainly had the length, the athleticism for that edge spot. So it's unfortunate as a Michigan recruiting fan to see it. But it, in my mind, at least, John, I think you can kind of understand where he's coming from.
Yeah, it's a bummer, especially because Texas had so many D-line commits. I think they had 7 in their class, but the hometown pull is just too much to overcome sometimes. And it's really just disappointing that Michigan's really only left with one edge prospect in the class, and it's Kevontae Henry, who could very likely flip to Washington at any moment since he didn't sign today. So you'd think after a season with, the Heisman candidate and 2 probable first round picks at defensive end, you'd be able to get some guys there, but just due to unfortunate circumstances, they couldn't land as many as they could. But I do expect them to hit that position hard in 23 and be able to land some, really highly ranked players because of their track record at that position.
Yeah, I would expect so too. I don't think it's going to be too detrimental at the end of the day. Certainly, you hate to see it happen just because, like I mentioned, I liked his potential at least with him being at 6'7", 225. I mean, that's crazy. I mean, that is just the potential for his body to develop is pretty insane. I'm curious to see how it works out for him at Texas. And I do genuinely wish him the best, as I'm sure we all do. I would hope at least. But another defensive line prospect in this class who ended up committing elsewhere, he didn't flip, he just ended up committing elsewhere, is Deion Walker, who was a name who we've brought up time and time again in this 2022 class from Cass Tech at 6'6", 350. I mean, he was considered a Michigan lean for months. He was going on guys' Instagrams, commenting on him, saying, come join the fam, you know, things along those lines. I'm not being verbatim right now, but those are the types of things that he was pitching to recruits to go to Michigan with him. And at the end of the day, he never ended up committing to Michigan. He could have had a silent verbal commitment at some point, but he was never public with any kind of commitment to the University of Michigan. So he ended up committing and signing with Kentucky this morning, not super long after Ethan Burke decommitted, flipped to Texas. So this one is a real bummer for me, John. I think he's got loads of potential on both sides of the ball. I think if it didn't work out on defense, he still would have been a high enough prospect on the offensive line that you could probably make it work. So I'm pretty bummed about this one. You know, this was a guy that they had been recruiting for a very, very, very long time. So when that kind of stuff happens, it's just super unfortunate. You got to just take the loss and move on.
Yeah, it's a bummer, especially after Michigan made all those moves to shore up their in-state recruiting, you know, getting especially Steve Klingscale, who was the primary recruiter for Walker when he's at Kentucky. You know, he switches over to Michigan, you think that's a slam dunk, and he still ends up in Kentucky. You know, sometimes guys just want to leave their local area, and, you know, the allure of the SEC is strong. So in the end, even after there's some late optimism for Michigan, they couldn't pull it off. I still like Michigan's defensive line class. They got top 100 guy Derek Moore today. They have Mason Graham and Kenneth Grant, who I think are still underranked on the composite, and I think they're going to be major contributors for this team. So it's still a good class overall, and that definitely lessens the blow, but you'd still like to get as many top guys that you want from your local footprint too.
Yeah, it certainly helps with the in-state recruiting when you get a guy like that from a program that you've historically recruited pretty well at Kaz Tech, but this Deion Walker recruitment was one to remember, that is for sure. So we'll see how he ends up doing in the SEC with Kentucky. Wish him well down there as well. And you alluded to Derek Moore, and we'll move right on to him because this was a great pickup for Michigan. It wasn't all bad news on the defensive line for the Wolverines because Derek Moore, he's a top 100 player. He ended up signing with Michigan today. He was originally committed to Oklahoma, and obviously the coaching departure from Lincoln Riley ended up making him reopen his recruitment. That's when he started peeking around. He visited Ole Miss, visited Michigan, and it was pretty much down to those two schools. At the end of the day, ended up choosing Michigan. It definitely helps or helped Michigan in this recruitment was the relationship that they have with St. Francis Academy, which is where Moore goes to high school. And obviously Biff Poggi being on Michigan staff currently helped them out. Also was a huge, or almost was a huge detriment, I should say, to Michigan's chances of landing him just because of the rule with this recruiting that I want to say it makes a program not be able to sign any players from a team if they end up hiring a coach from that school. I want to say it dates back like 2 years or something like that. Correct me if I'm wrong there, John. But that almost disallowed him from going to Michigan, but they were able to clear that from the NCAA, clearly because he ended up signing with Michigan. So he wouldn't have done that if he couldn't. So he is listed at 6'4", 250. He is ranked number 79 on the composite. You love to see top 100 players anytime you can get them. So, John, another really good pickup here for Michigan. Obviously need a guy like him in the class, especially with Ethan Burke flipping and Walker ended up going elsewhere. He is another good player along the defensive line for this staff, and a guy that they can kind of put in a couple different spots, in my opinion. So what do you think about Derek Moore signing with Michigan and him as a player?
Yeah, I think it's an awesome addition to the class. And I think it's another good break that fell Michigan's way with Lincoln Riley leaving for USC. They kind of double dip by getting Moore when Riley leaves for Oklahoma and getting Sab when Venables leaves for Oklahoma. Sorry, I messed that all up. But
I get what you're saying.
But yeah, it's just a big chain reaction.
Coaches are pretty much in the transfer portal too, so we get it.
and Michigan's just going along plucking kids that they need because, you know, shockingly, they have the consistency this year after last cycle. You know, the big knock was, what's Harbaugh going to do? He had a lower buyout. He didn't sign an extension for a while. And, you know, fast forward a year later, and they're one of the most stable programs in the country. They have, you know, a Bros Award winner that's sticking around after interviewing a couple places. And so far he hasn't left yet, you know. So I think that's this recruitment is kind of a good indicator of that and shows that Michigan's a destination for these guys, and having Biff Poggi on staff definitely helps. And it was finally a relief to see the NCAA not, you know, something work for Michigan in regards to the NCAA red tape instead of going against them. So, you know, it's a good sign, I think, for the future.
Yeah, you would think that it's, or at least hope that it's a good omen for the future of the recruiting. Cause yeah, I mean, it seems like with most of these things, it goes against Michigan, but this is one that ended up playing out in their favor. And thankfully, because he's a great player. And like you said, I mean, the fact that Michigan has been able to kind of poach these programs that have had coaches leave for other schools, it's super nice because they probably wouldn't have landed Darius Clements had Mario Cristobal not left Oregon. Morgan Walker, he had a coach leave as well with Brian Kelly going to LSU. I mean, just so many coaches leaving right before signing day that ended up being such a huge factor in a lot of these kids' decisions and a huge factor for why Michigan now holds a top 10 class in 2022. They're currently at number 9 with all of their signed players, number 3 in the Big Ten. They have just completely turned it around from where they were at just a few weeks ago, even. And like I said, winning kind of cures all of that. So, and coaches leaving for other positions as well. That also helps too. John, any other final thoughts on any of these guys before we move on in our recruiting podcast here?
Nope.
Excellent. So we will just take a quick break. And on the flip side, we are going to talk about the February signing period, what to expect there, and if a currently committed player who did not sign today ends up signing with Michigan in February. So we'll talk about that coming up next.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And we are back. Thanks for sticking around on Future Brew. As I promised before the break, we are going to finish our podcast today discussing the February signing period, where it used to be the norm for everybody to sign in February, but now with the early signing period, that has kind of taken away the glory of the February signing day. But there are certainly a couple kids in Michigan's class who did not sign and will not sign during this early signing period in December. And it's kind of interesting because I don't know if any of if either of these guys, I should say, are going to end up in Michigan's 2022 class. Let's just start with Kevontae Henry, John, because this is certainly one that has developed very quickly over the last week or two. He is one of the edge rushers in Michigan's class. He's at 6'4", 225 from the state of California. He is a four-star now. He was originally a three-star, but his recruiting rankings have just continued to go up and up and up. So he is at number 377 overall on the composite right now, 27 at the edge position, and number 30 in the state of California. Obviously, we talked on the last segment about coaches leaving and how it helped Michigan. This is one where it might hurt Michigan. Courtney Morgan, the now former director of recruiting for the University of Michigan football program, he left for Washington, and now it just seems like Washington is in the driver's seat to end up landing him. I think they will. I think if Kevontae Henry had the doubts today to forego signing during this early signing period and then end up wanting to sign in February to debate this for the next couple months, I think it's going to end up being detrimental for Michigan. I think the longer he waits, I think the more likely it is that he signs with Washington. Obviously, his relationship with Courtney Morgan is huge. It was a huge factor for why he ended up committing to Michigan back in June. And I think it's going to be the main reason why he goes to Washington in February, if that's what ends up happening. I don't have any, you know, intel telling me that's for sure what's going to happen. I'm not like a future teller by any means. This is just my opinion. I think he will end up signing with Washington, and Michigan will lose out on a pretty solid prospect here. So want to get your thoughts on this one, John, and what you think ends up happening with this recruitment.
Yeah, he would be a huge loss. You know, we talked about Burke leaving already and how there's really a lack of edge rushers in the class, and Henry has maybe the highest ceiling out of anyone in the country in that regard. He really, you know, rocketed up the rankings this year and was a hell of a find by Courtney Morgan. It usually when a player doesn't sign who's committed in the early signing period, it's kind of a warning and usually means he's going to leave. I agree with you that he probably will end up signing with Washington, but I do think this actually helps Michigan because it gives them more time to work with him and kind of assuage any fears he has about, you know, having a rough background and wanting to go to a place where he has a strong support system and feels safe. So I think his mind isn't definitively made up yet, or else he would have signed today. So I think there's still an opening for Michigan to, you know, convince him to stay in the class, but I do think it'd be really hard for them to overcome that Courtney Morgan connection.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to be able to overcome it. I don't know, man. I mean, I feel like, and I certainly see where you're coming from with how it might help Michigan. I just can't help but feel like it just hurts Michigan with Courtney Morgan being in his ear even more, saying, hey, man, I mean, do you want to go all the way out that way? You can stay closer to home. You can still get the guidance from me and have that relationship and that familiarity. I don't know, man. I mean, from a complete football program perspective, obviously you would want to play for Michigan. You have the coaches there. You have the success there. You would be able to get built up to be an NFL draft pick at Michigan. At Washington, they're completely starting over with pretty much everything. So it's clear as day that you would want to go to Michigan, but that relationship with Courtney Morgan, it really seems like it's going to be the deciding factor here. And it's really going to hurt Michigan because I think he's a hell of a prospect. I think he would have done really well at that David Ojabo position that they have. John, do you know what they call that? Because I have no idea.
No, in a just normal parlance, it would just be a defensive end for a 3-4 defense. Or no, sorry, it would be an outside linebacker. But
okay,
you know, I'm sure they have some term for a dog or rush or whatever.
Yeah. I can't keep up with all of the, they got like the Viper and the Jack and the Will and the same. I mean, they've got so much.
Every coach has his own thing.
Yeah. I can't keep up with it, honestly. And I'm not like a football X's and O's guys to begin with. So I just say linebacker, edge rusher, you know, whatever. Regardless, it's going to be a big loss there. What were you going to say, John?
I'm saying it confuses everyone because on the all Big Ten list, they have Aiden Hutchinson as an edge and as a defensive end and Ojabo as a linebacker when they basically play the same position, just on different sides. So,
more or less. Yeah.
So there's some confusion there for sure.
Yeah. I like how 24/7 has it right here with Cavante Henry. It just says edge, which is what he probably will end up doing in college. So it's going to be a big loss if that's what ends up happening, which is what I expect to happen. Let's move on to an in-state prospect who, oddly enough, did not end up signing today either, and that is Aaron Alexander, the Belleville prospect, listed at 6'1", 205. Was a guy that committed to Michigan back in June. Michigan had evaluated him at a few camps back in the summertime, ended up offering him, and he kind of just took that offer and ran with it. It didn't really take a whole lot of time. I think it took maybe a week or so for him to get that offer and then end up committing to Michigan. Didn't really have a ton of other offers in hand. Not sure if he's reported any new ones, but he, on his 24/7 page, it has Eastern Illinois and Marshall as the two other schools who have offered him up to this point. So this is a really weird one, John. You know, because right before we came on this podcast, you know, I had asked about Aaron Alexander if he had ended up signing. You've been a little bit more plugged in than I have today, and you told me that he had not, and did a couple quick Twitter and Google searches and stuff like that. It's just odd to me that a guy that was so pro Michigan in the summertime, got evaluated by Michigan, offered by Michigan, it had a good workout. I think two good workouts in front of the coaches. They ended up offering him. He took that offer and now he's not signing. Has not signed yet at the very least. Maybe he ends up signing tomorrow or Friday because the early signing period is a few days, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So he's got some time. But you had mentioned also to me, John, and you can expand on this a little further, that the Belleville prospects like Miles Rouser, four-star safety who was committed to Arkansas, also did not end up signing today. So maybe there's some sort of signing ceremony going on that isn't publicly available information. I don't know at this point, but yeah, this would be a really strange recruiting loss here, John. What do you think about all this?
Yeah, it's an odd situation, as things with Belleville usually are, especially with Michigan. There's two other like big Power Five recruits that Belleville has. Miles Rouser, who was a Michigan commit for a time and was committed to Arkansas, and then Jeremiah Caldwell, that was committed to Kentucky for some time, and I'm checking right now, I think he decommitted from them. Yeah, so he hasn't committed anywhere, so it makes sense that he didn't sign, but that none of them signed today. And I don't know if Alexander not signing is because of something with Michigan or because of something with the school. But either way, I think the chances that he ends up in the class are lowered. Just, you know, 99% of prospects, if they're committed, sign in the early signing period. Now, he still has 2 days to do it, on Thursday and Friday, before the window closes until February. But I haven't heard any news that he's planning to do it on then. So it's kind of unexpected here. Kind of a strange development that no one really saw coming, but we'll just have to see how it plays out here and what goes on and if it'll harm Michigan with Belleville going forward or not, because, you know, they have some more prospects up and coming, most notably Bryce Underwood, who's a freshman quarterback who looks to be like the next big thing after Dante Moore and then CJ Carr in the next two classes.
Yeah, I just can't wrap my head around this one. I have no idea exactly what's going on. Would be very strange to see him not be in the class. But yeah, you're right. I think the chances of him signing to Michigan at this point are certainly lowered. I see a tweet from Ashawn Larkins, who is the director of recruiting for Michigan, had tweeted out like a graphic kind of thing of all of the players who had signed with Michigan today. And you would imagine that they probably wouldn't release that unless they have the information that another prospect or two were going to end up signing on Thursday or Friday. I don't think he would release this today if that were the case. So Aaron Alexander is not in this little graphic thing that the University of Michigan had whipped up. So I think the chances of him signing during this early signing period are incredibly low. And yeah, I would definitely say that the chances of him signing with Michigan in February are also pretty low. This one is certainly concerning for me. I mean, when it comes to the prospect himself, I thought he showed up very well in the camp settings. I haven't seen a ton of other film on him to suggest otherwise. I think he certainly has the sideline to sideline speed, but as far as the linebackers go in this class, obviously they signed Deuce Spurlock, who is, in my opinion, kind of a pretty similar linebacker to Aaron Alexander. And then Jimmy Rolder as well, the four-star from Chicago. I think they're pretty set at linebacker, so I don't think this is a giant loss. And I don't want to like rag on the kid by any means, but I think if Michigan doesn't end up getting Aaron Alexander in their class, I don't think this is going to be like what losing Kevontae Henry would be, John. What would you say about that?
Yeah, it's definitely less of a loss. You know, we have there's two other solid linebackers in the class, and then you have Keon Sabb, who may end up growing into a linebacker, and Alex Ordrey, who may switch sides of the ball if quarterback doesn't work out and could play linebacker. So you even have those guys that could move to the position in the future. And it's not like a huge need right now for the class. So it wouldn't be too bummed about it. The bigger thing I think is Michigan standing with the, you know, Detroit high schools and stuff, and how that's always kind of an uphill battle. So that, I think that would be more of the concern about losing Alexander than the actual on the field play.
Yeah, no, agreed for sure. You certainly don't want to ruin any relationships with any of the high school coaches in the Metro Detroit area. I mean, Belleville, it's kind of already not the greatest, but yeah, you wouldn't want to worsen any relationships with any of the other programs, like you had mentioned with Dante Moore as well. Any of those schools, really, it would be huge. Yeah, I think that's really about it, John. I mean, there's been a lot that's been going on today. Lots to continue with the February signing period. So any other final thoughts that you have about today recruiting in general? It's been an absolutely wild day. So I'll let you take the floor here if you have any other final thoughts.
No, not really about today. I would just say to look out. Michigan's still going after Josh Connerly, who's going to sign in the February period. So that's the one big fish Michigan has left out there. And I'm sure they'll be looking for some edge prospects, you know, going through the guys that haven't signed yet and maybe trying to see if they can pick up a late riser or a guy who didn't sign with his original school for whatever reason. So I think those would be the two main points of focus until February.
Are there any other guys that they could poach from Clemson or Oklahoma or anybody?
And actually, I was sorting through the top edge guys, and it looked like some guys from Oregon, or that were crystal ball to Oregon, but didn't sign, are, you know, the most likely, I guess. Cyrus Moss, who plays for Bishop Gorman in Nevada. He's like a top 100 player. Had 100% crystal balls to Oregon, but hasn't committed yet. And then scrolling down, Amarian Winston, who's from Portland, Oregon, who's like a high 3-star guy who had 100% crystal balls too, but didn't sign. So maybe that uncertainty there, although I would have certainly expect Dan Lanning to do a good job getting defensive guys, being like a defensive coordinator himself. So we'll see how it goes. Maybe Michigan could pull the ultimate coup and steal Amari Abor, who was predicted to go to Ohio State. Kind of.
Yeah.
That would be nice, but I
that would be something. Very likely. Yeah, probably not super likely, but hey, recruiting, you never know when it comes to recruiting. Recruiting is one of those things that it's just ever changing, and it's you should expect the unexpected when it comes to recruiting. So many things have happened. I mean, look at what Jackson State did today with the 5-star cornerback.
Hunter.
Yes, Hunter. Yes. I just could not believe that they actually got that flip. That was just wild. So again, yeah, expect the unexpected when it comes to recruiting. You never know what's going to happen. So fingers crossed for more good news in February. Yeah, I think that's going to do it. Honestly, there's a lot more to do. So stick with mazeandbrew.com as more recruiting ends up happening. And I'm sure the 2023 class will kick into high gear here very soon. And we'll certainly bring all of y'all the latest there as well. But until then, you can follow me on Twitter at Vaughn_Lozon. John, where are you at, my friend?
At Simmons_John.
And follow Maze and Brew on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all that good stuff. Our YouTube channel, definitely growing that as well. So we appreciate your support there. 5-star reviews on all of our podcasts would be greatly appreciated. And thank you so much for listening and sticking around on Future Brew today. We'll be back next week with more Michigan football recruiting. Until then, go Blue.